You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
This is Simran Parwani. I'm 16 years old, and I am a junior at Fox Chapel Area High School.
Hi, this is Zainab Adisa. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a freshman at Pittsburgh Kappa.
And this is Cassidy McDonald. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a junior at Oakland Catholic High School. And you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day.
So now Zainab has a poem that she's going to read for us.
Okay, it's entitled Sticks and Stones. Years will pass by because time is inanimate and time can't see the people hurt by its carelessness. But wouldn't you like to think that time could see what's going on in the world and realize that it's wrong? And maybe just for a second it would stop and give humanity time to think for itself before another generation is exposed to its injustices. Yet time is just an abstract idea, and those harmful words still manage to run free into our world, acting as if they belonged in the pained ears of the innocent. Pained ears have heard too many words and haven't spoken enough. We don't realize it only takes seconds for someone to say, you don't belong here, you're different. Maybe people should learn to say, let's become friends. Slurs and stereotypes somehow seem to overpower what truly matters. Whatever happened to the old nursery rhyme? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. The future innocence of our world is at stake, and it will shatter. How are we supposed to change tomorrow if the people of today don't know the difference between right and wrong? But we can change that, not just because someone told us we should or our ancestors fought for what was right, but because we believe in a tomorrow where we won't need time to stop for us to make a change in today. Thank you.
Wow, that was beautiful.
So, what inspired you to write this poem?
In literary arts class at Kappa, we had to write a poem or a essay or something that we thought was, was like what made us think of Martin Luther King and ways to bring out what we care about or how we feel about him.
Wow, yeah, and I think like a really important aspect of your poem that seemed to come out was time, because we think that now, like, we are the change, like our generation, so it's up to us to kind of combat those stereotypes, and sometimes we just fall back on like what we think is like normal or regular, but like I know Mahatma Gandhi once said, be the change you wish to see in the world, so as the future of like we are the future, we can make that change.
Yeah, definitely. That was definitely something I was thinking while I was writing. I really wanted to capture that we don't need somebody else to make a change. Like, you can start small right now. You're an individual, and you can change it. So, yeah.
Yeah, just like a word here or there just to welcome other people, I think. Because sometimes we think just a small change isn't like, oh, it's just one thing. But a lot of small changes can definitely make a huge difference.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
Okay, everybody, that was Respect by Aretha Franklin.
So, for our hour, we're going to talk about some of the events going on in Pittsburgh to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We also have a interview scheduled with Sarah Pesci, who's a college student at Chatham University.
And we are also going to discuss some quotes that are relevant to today's topics of justice and freedom and equality.
So to start, we're going to talk about Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous I Have a Dream speech. So he gave a famous oration on August 28, 1963, at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Martin Luther King Jr. was asked to speak at this march, in which more than 250,000 people attended for congressional passage of a civil rights bill. Many say that he spoke effectively and defined the civil rights movement. In this, he called for racial equality and an end to discrimination. During the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom was a defining moment of the American civil rights movement. The speech was only 17 minutes long, yet it is ranked in the top as the top American speech of the 20th century.
And so now we're going to discuss some of the events that are happening in Pittsburgh today to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. And it's amazing how many events there are, because it just shows that today his fight is still relevant and we're still continuing to be more accepting of each other. And just some in the region, there's more than 300 volunteers from Shadyside Academy are participating in community service projects just in different areas throughout Pittsburgh. And in Oakland, at the Schenley Park Ice Rink, there's MLK Day in the park, and it's from 1 to 4, and they're having just activities outside. And in McCandless, they have the Vincentian Home is having its first multicultural fair. So the residents and their families will enjoy some arts, culture, food, and entertainment from around the world. So it's a great way to incorporate into the community different like diverse types of things. And in Edgewood, a Habitat for Humanity Improvements team will be doing some work at the Salvation Army, the McKeesport Family Center, Holy Trinity Baptist Church, and the Restore for Habitat for Humanity. So there's tons of events happening throughout the city, so it's a great way to show that as a city and a community in the Pittsburgh region, we are really coming together to help out others and be more accepting, which is really a great part of Martin Luther King's message.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what our audience is doing to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. So we'd love to have your participation. So please call or text us at 412-200-5975. That's 412-200-5975. And we're going to continue with some more events that are going on in the community. So in Oakland, University of Pittsburgh is having a week-long celebration. It's going until Friday, and it's called Becoming a Just Community. All the events are free. For example, on Monday, today, to celebrate the National Day of Service, there's going to be a candlelight vigil at 7:06 p.m. at the Cathedral of Learning. Also, on Thursday, there's going to be a social justice symposium from 9 to 1. And then in the Hill District, there's going to be the 10th annual MLK Jr. Blood Drive for Life from 1 to 6 p.m. on Monday.
So I think that's a great way to show how, like, a blood drive just one example of many things that people can do, and just volunteering. And now we have a poem by Langston Hughes called I Too Sing America. I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes. But I laugh, and I eat well, and I grow strong. Tomorrow, I'll be at the table when company comes. Nobody'll dare say to me, eat in the kitchen, then. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I, too, am America.
I really just love that poem. I think at school we study it every time around Martin Luther King Day, and I just think it's a really awesome poem. And I also think that Langston Hughes was a very good poet. He just uses so many poetic techniques that bring out what he feels and how he is and what he does. And his poems, really, they kind of see into the future. It's just really nice and awesome.
Yeah, I think that, especially here with all the pauses and the short phrases, it shows how it's such a simple message, the message of equality, that it's not hard to accept each other as other human beings. And I know sometimes, like especially in this poem, how we can segregate against each other or judge each other because we're different. But really, I think it's the differences that make humanity such a special thing, because although we're so different, we can learn from each other and come together to create something great.
Yeah, many people don't realize that it starts small. We have to like each other to be a part of each other, and it's just a really great, simple message.
When I was growing up, they always said the golden rule was to treat others the way you want to be treated. And I think that that's one of the underlying messages of Langston Hughes' poem. And as you were saying, tolerance is the key for a better future. We all have to think of each other as equal in order to make the world a better place someday.
Yeah, I think that's really great. How in the poem it says there's differences between us, but the differences don't matter as much, I think, as that how we use those differences to help each other and create a better community and a better world.
Well, again, we'd love to hear from our audience about what they are doing for Martin Luther King Day, and we feel that you should call in or text at 412-200-5975. We'd love to hear what you're doing for today or how your family celebrates.
Hey, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Out of me. We'll walk hand in hand.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
Hi, so we're back again, and we are just about to do an interview with Sarah Pesci. The time is always right to do what is right. These words by Martin Luther King Jr. inspired Sarah to draft a bill when she was merely 14 years old. Now she's a student at Chatham University, and her legislation has reached a vote in the Pennsylvania House. Now here's Sarah to tell us more about her bill and how she embodies the spirit of Martin Luther King.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. And my bill is, it allows people in Pennsylvania that don't fit the relationship nexus to get a PFA to be able to get restraining orders. Because currently in Pennsylvania, you can only get a restraining order if the person who is stalking or harassing you is a current or former intimate partner. So my bill protects people that don't fit that relationship nexus.
So what inspired you to get involved with civil rights?
What inspired me was basically, so I had a personal experience, and I went to the police to have it dealt with, and they told me that because the person who was stalking and harassing me didn't fit the relationship nexus, like the person who was stalking me wasn't a former boyfriend, and he wasn't a relative, so I wasn't protected before the laws, and I thought that was really unfair. So I decided to do something about it instead of just being angry, try to make it better for others.
How old were you when this happened?
The personal experience, it started when I was like 12 or 13, and it continued until I was 16, but I wrote the bill when I was 14.
Wow. What advice would you give to youth to get involved in their community?
The advice that I would give is just pick an issue you feel passionate about and use whatever you're talented at. It doesn't have to be writing a bill. It can be raising awareness about an issue maybe you encountered. Like I would say to challenge yourself to think about, you know, everybody goes through hardship. And I think, you know, instead of using that hardship that you went through and thinking about how can I make it better for others, and then using that and using your talents, it doesn't have to be writing a bill. It can be raising awareness about something. It can be starting an organization if you're good at music. It can be writing a song about a social issue you feel passionate about. It can be, if you're good at art, doing installation art. It can, there's so many different things you can do to get involved. I would say just the biggest thing is just to, like, start.
How did you feel when you first started drafting this bill? Like, what were some of the things going through your minds about it?
It was a little bit overwhelming because, like, it was something I've never done before. And the reason that I did it was because it was a challenge from my youth and government advisor. She challenged us to write about something in Pennsylvania that we wanted to change, and I knew what I was going to write about. And so I started looking at, well, what are other states doing compared to Pennsylvania? I found that 38 other states already have this on the books. And I also just read about the crime itself and tried to become as well educated as I could, and I got advice from professionals in the field, lawyers, and I just thought about, in general, like, what could have been beneficial to me at that time.
Would you say that your personal experience influenced what you're doing today in the world, like what you major in college with, or how you go about your everyday life?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, this whole experience has definitely influenced me. I'm majoring in public policy. Nice. With a minor in social services administration. I'm really interested in nonprofits and social justice, and I think one of the things, like, working on this policy has taught me is the importance of, you know, collective action, working together with people. The success of my bill, you know, it wouldn't have been possible without all the people that helped me and who have supported me and who have emailed their legislators and the organizations that have worked with me, particularly like the Women and Girls Foundation. But I think it's definitely been an empowering experience, from like feeling like you had no voice whenever I was going through that personal experience to like really being able to help others, I think. It definitely has impacted me, and I've learned so much. It's about advocacy and people and social justice, and it's been a really great experience. Challenging at times, but great. I wouldn't change it.
That's great.
What were some of the steps you took? And like, how did you actually get this bill into Congress?
Okay, so the first step was actually drafting it for my youth in government, and that started, I had a template, but then I looked at, like, other states, did the research. After that, I wasn't happy leaving it as an imaginary bill, so I called my representative at the time, which was Representative Ted Harhat, and I scheduled a meeting, and it was actually scheduled for the day after my last day of my freshman year of high school. And I went to the meeting, and he agreed to sponsor it. And I worked on the bill for a couple of years, and I did a lot of networking where I talked to different organizations and people who were all super supportive. But I lacked an essential skill, which was advocacy. Like, I knew the basic function of government, but I didn't really know how to advocate for myself. So I joined a program called GirlGov, which is sponsored by the Women and Girls Foundation, and they taught me advocacy skills and had really been essential in helping this bill move forward. They also helped me, like, navigate the government, because it's not as neat as Schoolhouse Rock makes it out to be. It's really complicated. So they helped me with that, and we had to look at different strategies. We looked at those networks that I had formed, getting those outside support. We also looked at, like, inside strategy, like getting House leadership on board. And eventually the bill got a major compromise, and it's now an amendment. But it's not where I want it to be, but I think it's a really great first start. And there's been a lot of people along the way who have been really great in helping me get to where I'm at.
So do you think you'll go further and trying to make it something bigger? Or?
Yeah, I think I will. I think, I know after this amendment gets passed, well, after the bill gets passed, I think it does a really good job at a really great start at helping people. One of the compromises we had to make was that for stalking and harassment victims that fall under this protective order, it only protects minors who are being stalked or harassed by adults. But I'd really like it to help everybody, because no matter who you are, you know, you go through the same kind of feelings regardless if you're a kid or an adult. And sometimes I think it can even be more detrimental for adults, because if you're a single mom, or, you know, like, it wasn't a big deal for me to quit my job because, like, I was still dependent on my parents. But if you're a single mom and you're working and somebody's stalking you at work, and, like, and you have to quit your job or change something about, like, your life for someone else, like, it's a big deal. It's like you're your sole breadwinner. So I'd like to help more people that way. I'd also like to look more into our stalking and harassment laws and look at strengthening them, because they're kind of weak compared to other states. And I'd also like to look at the other, you know, 12 states that don't have this, because I think it's really important that they get it. And I also, that's And then there's a lot of other things I want to do regarding many different issues as well. But I plan to stay very involved.
That's awesome. Yeah, because sometimes that's not always a big issue that people think about. But obviously from your personal experience, it was something that affected you very immensely. So it's great that you're making a change to help others who might go through a similar situation, but will be able to do something about it now that you because of your bill.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, it affects a lot of people. I think 1 in 6 and 1 in 13 men, 1 in 6 women and 1 in 13 men are stalked in their lifetime. So it has the potential to help a lot of people. So I think it's pretty important.
Thanks for being with us, Sarah. We look forward to hearing great things about you in the future.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. And this is awesome, what you're doing. Keep it up.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So I also went to GirlGov, that was the program that Sarah went to that was sponsored by the Women and Girls Foundation. And during my time there, I got to shadow a state legislator. I got to have tea at the governor's mansion, and I've met a lot of inspirational women like Sarah who invoke the spirit of Martin Luther King. So I think what we can take away from Sarah's words is that it's really important to work together. And the key to working together, as we said before, is tolerance and respect for each other. And one of the really inspirational things I found was that no matter how old you are, you can make a difference. So I think it's really interesting to see how when Sarah drafted this bill when she was younger than us. So I think I feel like we should try and make more of a difference in our community.
Yeah, and I think that's something that not many people focus on all the time is that age. That people think that just because we're young, we can't really do much, or, oh, I'll wait till I'm older to do something, or I'll just wait. But, like, we never know, how we affect people or, like, how much time we have. So we should really, as young people, focus on making a change. And so when we are older, we can continue to change and help people.
I really hate the stereotype that people have of kids our age. They think, like, the typical teenager is always on their iPhone or, like, on Instagram.
And texting and, like, doesn't want to do homework or just watching Netflix.
Well, to all those people listening out there, I promise there's more to us than that. And I think, especially from the Streaming Justice webcast, I hope that all the youth out there will be inspired to go and change that stereotype. So we have a caller now. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Jalise. I'm calling from the city of Pittsburgh. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just calling to say you guys are doing a really awesome job, and I think you have a lot of insight about how to have a more peaceful and unified world for everyone to live in.
Thank you.
So thank you for all of your work and all of your thoughts today.
So what are you doing to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Well, to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, I've been listening to Streaming Justice.
Awesome.
Great.
And also at the Children's Museum, I'm listening to Kings for a Day speeches.
That's great. I hear they're having a good time upstairs.
Can you tell us more about the King for a Day speeches?
Well, so far, we've had lots of young boys and girls read some speeches by Martin Luther King. And also Mayor Peduto joined us.
Oh, wow.
So that was very exciting.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, what did the mayor have to say?
Well, the mayor read the very last speech that Martin Luther King ever gave, in which Martin Luther King talks about a world where he no longer was living, which was very interesting because obviously he didn't know what was going to happen to him and that his life would be ended. So it's very interesting to hear what he has to say about how his message will live on and how he will, it will continue to endure and how, you know, how the movement will continue to grow. And here we are in 2014, and Martin Luther King is one of the most influential people of all time.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point that he was speaking of this, but his legacy lived on so far, and, like, it's a holiday now to celebrate him and all of the great achievements he achieved throughout civil rights and the civil rights movement.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, and thank you guys, and just today.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Bye.
I went up to the mountain because you asked me to. Up over the clouds to where the sky was blue, I could see all around. I could see all around me, everywhere. Sometimes I feel like I've never been nothing but tired, and I'll be working till the day I expire. Sometimes I lay down, no more can I do. But then I go on again because you asked me to. Some days I look down, afraid I will fall, and though the sun shines, I see nothing at all. The peaceful valley, just over the mountain. The peaceful valley, if you come to know, I may never get there. Go.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
Hi, this is Zainab Adisa. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a freshman at Pittsburgh Kappa.
I'm Simran Parwani. I'm 16 years old, and I am a junior at Fox Chapel Area High School.
And I'm Cassidy McDonald. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a junior at Oakland Catholic High School. And you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day.
So, right now, we're going to talk about another inspirational figure that embodies Martin Luther King's spirit. So, Nelson Mandela, who just passed away recently, he did a lot to promote equality in the world. So Nelson Mandela was born in South Africa in 1918, and he joined the African National Congress in 1944, and he was engaged in resistance against the ruling National Party's apartheid policies after 1948. He went on trial for treason in 1956 through 1967 and was acquitted in 1961. And after the African National Congress was banned in 1960, he argued for the setting up of a military wing within the African National Congress. And in June 1961, the African National Congress executives considered his proposal on the use of violent tactics, and they agreed that members who wished to involve themselves in his campaign would not be stopped from doing so. And so this led to Mandela being arrested in 1962, and he was sentenced to 5 years of imprisonment with hard labor. And in 1963, when many of his fellow leaders of the African National Congress were arrested, he was brought to stand trial with them for plotting to overthrow the government by violence. And so he received international publicity for this because on June 12th in 1964, he was sentenced to life imprisonment. So I can't even imagine being incarcerated for 18 years. But during his time in prison, he became accepted as the most significant black leader in South Africa. And he became a symbol of resistance as the anti-apartheid movement gained strength. So he was released in 1990. And so after all that time in prison, despite that, he still plunged himself wholeheartedly into his life's work. And he still strived to attain the goals that he had set out to do almost four decades earlier. And in 1960, he was elected president of the African National Congress.
Okay, so now we have a quote by Nelson Mandela, which he said, okay. So, no one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. People learn to hate, and if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. Nelson Mandela.
It's quotes that like that redeem my faith in humanity. I think it's so cool to hear how Nelson Mandela believes in the inherent good nature of humans, and that love makes the world go round.
Yeah, I think we do, because of previous generations and the history of our world, have these stereotypes. But he's right. We're not born with these stereotypes. But as we grow up, what we learn and what we experience is what kind of gives us these stereotypes. And so I think that from, again, what in your poem was talking about time, I think time is what is really building these stereotypes, because we're learning from previous generations who may have, there might be injustice and prejudice with those people, but I think because we can learn to love, as Nelson Mandela is saying, that we can overcome these prejudices and stereotypes, and we can really love each other and empower each other.
It's great seeing what America's been through, because if you think about it, America is one of the youngest countries in the world. Well, it's about, I don't know, maybe 250 years old, but it's still pretty young, younger than most other countries. And it's like seeing what we've been through as a country and seeing how we've had so many amazing leaders lead us to a better path and how we can still lead ourselves to a better path. We can all be leaders and we need to take action of that. So I think it's just really awesome seeing what they have to say and all the quotes about random knowledge. They're just awesome.
So I think what we can learn from these quotes and from the whole Streaming Justice webcast is to be independent of the ideals imposed on us by society. We can write a bill like Sarah did. We can take action in our community. And I think this whole day has been really inspiring for me personally.
Yeah, and Nelson Mandela is such an inspirational figure because he's kind of like a mixture between the George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Barack Obama of South Africa, because he was the first president, the first black president, and he helped free and unify the country. So he really is an amazing figure because he combines so many aspects of what we as Americans and we as people think of as important.
I never thought of it that way. That's really cool. Here's another quote that we have from another inspirational world leader, Mahatma Gandhi. "You must not lose faith in humanity. Humanity is an ocean. If a few drops of the ocean are dirty, the ocean does not become dirty." And I guess what we can take away from that quote is amidst inequality and prejudice, there's still hope.
Yeah, I think it gives us great imagery to what our society can really be, because there are going to be those people that have these prejudices and hatreds towards other human beings. But I think if as a whole we can overcome that, we can still have, as he says, a clean ocean of humanity. And even though there might be a few drops of dirt here and there, I think it can still be okay.
Yeah, we can clean up the ocean. We can start over, even if it means starting small, to create something bigger and better that can change the world.
Yeah, because even if we start small, like, we're starting, and it can grow and become something great.
Yeah.
That quote makes me want to think of, like, what causes prejudices? Like, is it that we fear what we don't understand? Is it that we're, like, uncomfortable with certain situations and that leads to prejudice? What do you think?
Yeah, I think prejudice begins with people being uncomfortable or maybe really arrogant, not knowing something, and then assuming, like, stereotypes. You have to get to know someone before you can judge them. Like, never judge a book by its cover. So, yeah, I think people are afraid maybe of what they don't know of, and that's a really big topic. So,
yeah, I think definitely what you were saying, that we have these differences, and instead of embracing these differences, we hide away from them because we don't know people who are different from us, so we don't know how to interact with them or react to them. And I think also a lot of personal experiences, like the way you're brought up and how, and like if someone has an experience with one person, they might judge their whole race or religion or group on a bad experience they may have had with one person, which is not really fair.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear what you think is the cause of prejudice. So we'd love to have your participation. Please call or text us at 412-200-5975. That's 412-200-5975.
I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't hate your neighbor in your mind. State of freedom. You can't hate your neighbor in your natural mind. When state of freedom. You can't hate your neighbor in your mind. State of freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know you love everybody in your mind. State of freedom. You love everybody in your mind. When you stay on freedom, you love everybody in your mind. Stay on freedom. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Captain of my mind, stayed on freedom. God is the captain of my mind. Child, I'm stayed on freedom. God is the captain of my mind. Stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. Up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Woke up this morning with my natural mind. I was stayed on freedom. Woke up this morning with my mind. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
I'm Simran.
I'm Cassidy.
I'm Zainab.
And we're going to talk a bit about prejudice and Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay, so I read another thing for class, and it's kind of what I thought about Martin Luther King when I was younger. Okay, so Martin Luther King Jr. is a very inspirational role model. He did a lot for this nation, even if some people were against him or didn't realize how big of a role he played on helping this nation recover from many things. When I was younger, I used to be afraid of Martin Luther King. I know that sounds ridiculous right now, but I didn't know better. I didn't see him on the inside. I only saw him on the outside and the things that he went through, which frightened me. I remember in elementary school, we would always do something to celebrate his birthday. The kindergartners would do something like coloring a picture or hanging up on the wall. It wasn't until I was about in second grade that I was able to realize how much he completed during his lifetime. He inspired me to do my best and never give up hope.
Yeah, that's great. I think Martin Luther King is such an inspirational figure because he ignites change, and he was so brave because he went against the majority and faced violence for what he believed in, because he died for something he believed in and to create a change that has left a legacy until today and will help create change in our country and all around the world for years to come.
All this talking about Martin Luther King Jr. has reminded me about one of my favorite authors, William Hazlitt. He wrote a essay called On Prejudice, and I just wanted to share a few of his words with you. So he said, "Prejudice is the child of ignorance. Mere ignorance is a blank canvas on which we lay what colors we please and paint objects black or white, as angels or devils, magnify or diminish them at our option." And so I think what we can take from that quote from William Hazlitt is that that prejudice stems from like a lack of knowledge about a situation. So I think that we all have a civil responsibility to educate ourselves about what's been going on in our community and about like other ethnic groups and religions, so that the intolerance, like, I know it's impractical to say that it'll just be eradicated altogether, but as every bit counts.
Yeah, so. And even with small changes, we can make improvements to create a better community.
So another thing that we learned from this webcast is no matter how old you are, you can make a difference in your community. You're responsible for eradicating these intolerances in the world, so just start as early as possible, I guess.
Yes.
Definitely. Okay.
So that is it for our segment of the broadcast, but coming up next are our new hosts, Ananya Cletus, Arwen Kozak, and Elizabeth Vargo.
Okay, coming up we have a speech by Martin Luther King Jr.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. Martin Luther King.
Thank you very kindly, my very dear friends. These churches are really loaded tonight. Never in the history of this nation have so many people been arrested for the cause of freedom and human dignity. You know there are approximately 2,500 people in jail right now. Right. Now let me say this, the thing that we are challenged to do is to keep this movement moving. Yeah. There is power in unity and there's power in numbers. Yeah. As long as we keep moving like we are moving, the power structure of Birmingham will have to give in. Yeah. And we are probably nearer to a solution of this problem than we are able to realize. And don't worry about your children. They are going to be all right. Yeah. Don't hold them back if they want to go to jail. For they are doing a job for not only themselves, but for all of America and for all mankind. Somewhere we read, a little child shall lead them. Remember, there was another little child, just 12 years old, and he got involved in a discussion back in Jerusalem. Yeah. As his parents moved down the dusty road leading them back to that little village of Nazareth. Yeah. And when they got back and bothered him and touched him and wanted him to move on at that moment, he said, "I must be about my father's business." Oh. All right. These young people are about their father's business. Yeah. And they are carving a tunnel of hope through the great mountain of despair. And they will bring to this nation a newness and a genuine quality and an idealism that it so desperately needs. Now we are going to see that they are treated right. Don't worry about that. The Justice Department is already in here. And they don't have some small fish from the Justice Department. They have some of the big fish in here. we are reminding them at all times that these persons are political prisoners. And there's a distinction between a political prisoner and somebody who's there for getting drunk, or somebody who's there for engaging in a robbery. And we're going to see that they are treated right. And go on and not only fill up the jails around here, but just fill up the jails all over the state of Alabama if necessary. Keep this movement going. Keep this movement rolling. In spite of the difficulties, and we're going to have a few more difficulties, keep climbing. Keep moving. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.